Om Shanti.
Good morning. And today is the first day of the celebration of Krishna's birth, Janamashtami. So happy Janamashtami to everyone. And actually, I've now understood that it's celebrated for 2 days, because it's today and then again tomorrow. And so 2 days celebration for Sri Krishna, 18 days of celebration for the Shaktis, because with Mamma it's not only Mamma but it's a whole army. And so the Shaktis are honored for 18 days, 9 days next to Sri Rama's birth and 9 days before the Dussehra Diwali. So Bhakti has many interesting traditions, and I asked why is there a celebration for 2 days, and they didn't have an answer for me, but I think it's because they think that midnight is the birth in the darkness, and then tomorrow is the day that he's already grown up, and so they say it's the day that he broke the matka to catch all the butter. So that these stories are interesting. But tomorrow night I'll be doing an interview with Sukanti Ben, and she knows all the scriptures. She's a pundit's daughter, and so she knows all the scriptures. And when she even told me what the questions were, I said, I don't know about this. So she had to explain things to me. Anyway, so that's tomorrow. But today, I want to take up a question that I've been asked, and after that, Baba Smriti. But in particular, it concerns everyone in a sense, because every Thursday, every Sunday, you hear about sending Baba's light and love to this one, that one, the other one, for various things that happen in life. And it's good to honor each one and celebrate somebody's life or somebody's birthday or whatever it may be. Because departure is not just departure, but it's also a celebration of their life and honoring them in that way. But when we talk about this, we say, well, send your good wishes, your good feelings for them. And it's true that every time we remember Baba and we put a soul in front of Baba, even if it's just for 30 seconds, 1 minute, 30 seconds is actually quite long when you're counting time. And so whether it's a minute or 30 seconds, we put them in front of Baba, and then it's Baba's light that's reaching them, not just my own. And then after that, you carry on with your remembrance, and those vibrations reach across the world. But the question has been, how do you get to the point where there truly are genuine good feelings for all? Because Baba always says good feelings for everyone, not just 1, 5, 10 people, but everyone. And also, what is the mechanism by which those souls actually receive those good wishes? So I thought it was an interesting subject to take up this morning. And just reflecting on what are good wishes for all, of course it means really cleaning out the soul and sorting out my feelings for every individual that I have a connection with. Those who I don't know, it's very easy to have good wishes for them, because I don't know the ins and outs of their personality. I have no karma with them, and so I can send out my good wishes. But when there are people I know, and maybe there are some karmic accounts involved in that I've created, sometimes people think it's from the past. And that might also be true. And the way to settle that is not by remembering them, but just simply having yoga. because yoga is the fire that is actually able to burn past karmic accounts, whether it's gross sin or subtle sin, whatever it may be. But yoga power means I'm settling that karma and I'm becoming free from whatever is the connection with them. And after that, if I do connect with them, there's no other feelings there. The karmic account has been settled, now it's just normal. But sometimes there are situations where we've had such karma with individuals, and yes, it may be from the past, but at this moment now, it continues, because their sanskars are the same, my sanskars are probably the same still, and so then there's a clash. And it keeps happening. It's a repetitive thing, maybe. But I need to change myself first and foremost. I need to be able to say, I'm only going to have the vision of soul consciousness. I have to be soul conscious. And my vision towards them is going to be of soul consciousness. And when I am in contact with them face to face, even before we speak, as soon as I know that I'm going to be facing them, what I have to do is to very strongly keep Baba between me and them so that I'm protected. Baba creates that shield around me so that nothing negative reaches me, but also it gives them the vibrations of Baba, so that that also is helpful for them. So it means that I don't add anything further to my karma from the past, and if they're saying whatever it is they want to say, I'm protected. It doesn't hurt me anymore. If I allow a soul to hurt me, I'm definitely going to be giving it back to them in some form at some time. Maybe not immediately. If it's immediate, then of course it's karma. But maybe I've learned sufficiently and I don't allow it to hurt me. Then the karma is finishing. They do what they need to do and I mustn't be bothered by that. But their criticism or negativity doesn't impact me. Because once they've said something and I've taken it to heart and I've also understood where it is I was at fault, if I've gone through the process of realization and understanding that, then today it won't hurt me anymore. And Baba's the shield, but I've done my own inner work also. If the hurt is continuing and I'm adding to what is already there, then of course, hurt people hurt people. It's a reality. I've been hurt, and so I'm going to hurt someone else. Maybe I don't have the courage to face that particular individual, but there'll be somebody or another that I'll be blasting out to and hurting them. So first step, let me try and understand if there is any truth behind their criticism. There may be. But once I've understood that and I've put it into my life, I've practiced whatever it is I need to do through my realization, that's okay. And then, keeping Baba in front, no more hurt being accumulated. That's very important. And why I'm talking about individuals in terms of good wishes is because of something that I realized many years ago, and this would have been in the mid-90s. There was somebody who was coming and is still around as a Brahmin, not in the UK, somewhere else, but he would visit here. And he was moving very fast. It was really one of those last go fast souls and doing a lot of good service. And he spoke to Daddy about the subject of forgiveness. And his question was, there have been three people in my life who have hurt me greatly. And I've managed to be able to forgive two of them, but I haven't done that for the third one because that's really very, very intense and I still carry that. And so, Daddy, I've come a long way, haven't I? His position was this. And Daddy said, yes, you've come a long way to deal with two, but if you let the third one stay in your heart and you carry that bitterness with you, or you still can't forgive them, then that is poison. It's poison for you. The vibrations are impacting them also, so they can't communicate with you anymore. But that's another story. But firstly, you have to look and see what is it doing to you. And it's like a trap that you're caught up in and you can't release yourself from that trap. And so bad feelings automatically emerge whenever you think of them, and definitely you're going to carry on thinking of them at some point or another again and again because it's impacting you and the hurt is there and you remember that hurt, the person who hurt you and so on. And if you were to offer someone a glass of water and say 99% of that water is pure and clean, but there's just one drop within a whole glass, one drop of poison in it, would they drink it? Would you drink it? And so it's the same thing. Although you're saying it's just one individual that I haven't been able to forgive, it's there within your consciousness. And so it's impacting not just your relationship with them, but it's also impacting everybody you're connected with, because that bitterness comes through in whatever it is you say and do, except those you're very attached to. But even within the attachment, there's still the sharpness that comes through. So it's important to let go and forgive so that you can be free. It's not their freedom, it's your freedom that is at stake. And so this person understood, and a couple of years later, when he met Daddy again, he said, Daddy, you were absolutely right. I had to let go. I had to learn about forgiveness, and I feel so much better now. My yoga is better. My relationships are better. So he'd actually done the work that he needed to do. And so on one level, first step is protection for myself so that I don't take more hurt, and I separate that from, yes, I'm going through my journey, my process, but I've dealt with their criticism in what it is they were saying to me, and it was helpful, it was effective, and I've done it. But now I just need to protect myself so that whatever they say doesn't impact me or hurt me anymore. And I too have learned to be a detached observer of myself, so that when they come in front of me, and I still interact with them, they come in front of me, but I watch myself. I'm not just an observer for them, an observer for myself. And so I make sure that my feelings stay calm. I don't get into good wishes for them yet, but I'm able actually to stay calm. So big step forward. And then if there are people that I have learned to forgive, I put them in God's hands in the sense that whatever it is they've done, I am not going to get involved by thinking about their karma. Every time I think of them, it's my karma that's accumulating. In terms of what it is they've done it, and they carry the burden of that, but why are you adding to your burden? And so I put them in front of God so that then I know that God is responsible for whatever it is. They are accountable to God not to me. And when I've done this, it's been very effective. Again, it's been a great liberation because I don't have to think about it. It's not my job. It's not my remit. It's not my responsibility. They are accountable to God. And so that again is a huge liberation. And so when I've done both these steps, then I can start further whatever it is I need to clean out, and my feelings have to change. But my feelings will only change through churning gyan. I'm listening to Baba Smriti every day, but I listen and it goes in, goes out, and I'm not able to actually clean all the stuff that is in this little container. And it looks little, it's just a dot, but somehow the container is infinite. And we can remember things and be impacted by things that happened in childhood in a big way. And I used to think that whatever patterns were created until age 7 were the patterns that most people live by. And that autopilot reaction is based on that, because the formative years are, I thought, 0 to 7. But somebody told me the other day that the brain reaches its peak by 6 years of age. That's the latest research information, apparently. And so patterns created, and in a conscious way, probably from age 3, unconscious even before that, even in the womb. Now I'm hearing that things even begin in the womb. And of course that makes sense, because the karma with the mother has started already. And so in Bharat, definitely, as soon as conception is known, then parents, the mother-to-be, is told, you must go to satsang every day, you must hear something that's good every day, and through the day also, whatever it is you're eating is going to have an impact, whatever it is you're... This is, grandmother's wisdom. It isn't... But science is now proving all of this. But grannies used to tell their daughters and their daughters-in-law all these things. And so that ancient wisdom of Bharat, even from the Copper Age onwards, I'm sure in Satyug nobody had to tell Lakshmi how to look after her son. I'm sure nobody told the mother of Krishna how to look after Krishna. But now we are understanding through science that all this is absolutely true. You know, some years ago when I would say to a person, you know, your smoking is impacting your child to be, and they would say nonsense. Somebody actually told me that. And again, it was some instinct that told me that whatever is going on is, of course, impacting the fetus. But anyway, so at this point now, whatever are those patterns of behavior, and I want to now not use those, I want to use another set of patterns that I definitely carry. You're Brahmins, you've had your spiritual rebirth, which means that you're preparing to become the deities. And so the deity sanskars are also very much within the soul. Sometimes you have to go digging a bit deep, but they're there. And so just as, say, with anger, every time I allow anger to come, it's adding to that pattern that's already there. And the pattern gets deeper and deeper. And it's not that in old age something happens and anger goes away. But no, it just gets more intense. That's a reality. But the other is also the reality. If I can tap into my own original sanskars, and not even just the deity sanskar, but there's another sanskar that Baba has instilled in us now, in Sangam Yuga, and that is a sanskar of benevolence. Baba is benevolent, Rama is benevolent, Kalyankari. Everything that happens within Rama is benevolent. Big lesson to learn, but it is a reality. How can Rama be anything less than benevolent for God's children? We know Rama, we make Rama our friend, we make Rama our mother, and so we're able to have benevolence. In the Golden Age, the deities don't actually need benevolence. I'm sure they are benevolent, but there isn't actually anything they need to do with that benevolence, because everybody is content, everybody is happy, everybody has everything that they need and more than enough. Even the simplest person in Satyug, the one who's at the bottom of the ladder of the hierarchy, and there is a hierarchy, it's a golden state, but so there's nothing bad or evil, but it's a natural thing that happens. And so everyone is content and happy. So who am I going to have benevolence for? Myself? Well, I'm content and happy too. I don't need benevolence in my interaction. It's there in a natural way of love and respect. And so in Sangam Yuga, what I want to do is to take in Baba's virtues, but also I want to emerge my own virtues of the Golden Age. And so even if somebody isn't having regard, what am I doing? Can I have regard for them? Even though they don't reciprocate, it's okay. Why? Because I want to develop that sanskar of regard and respect under all circumstances and all situations. So it's for my benefit again. Very selfish, but that's okay in this case. It's benefit for others too. Selfishness comes in if I'm taking something at the expense of another. But if I'm improving my own inner being, then that's going to help everyone. So it's altruistic selfishness, if there can be such a thing. But it's focusing on what I need to do. And so as I develop that sanskar of love and respect for everyone, maybe there are some people you can always respect, but you don't necessarily love them. But okay, it's okay for now. By the end of the kalpa, maybe you'll also love them. But at least there needs to be respect. And so this is the background of the work that I need to do so that I've cleaned out all other feelings and everything else, and there's nothing but love and respect for all. Then I can have good wishes and good feelings for all. So we take it in a very simple way. Okay, we're going to have yoga, we're going to send out Baba's light and might to that soul. And yes, it works, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But really, to have the power, the capacity to send out pure feelings and good wishes for all, it's a lot of cleaning up that I need to do in myself. Then those good wishes and pure feelings are definitely going to work. And when people say, you know, I'm having such trouble with this individual, I've been sending them good wishes for 3 years, for 4 years, and it hasn't worked. And there are two things. A, my expectation that my good feelings and pure wishes should work for my benefit. It's going to be more comfortable for me if they change. But my expectation is that they will change. And so while I carry that expectation, again, it's not going to work. It definitely isn't altruistic at that point. It's definitely selfish that it's going to be more comfortable for me. And so I have to get beyond expectations and know that it's in Baba's hands. Baba is the one who can touch intellects and make them change, not me. But yes, also, I need to do some cleaning so that my pure good wishes are actually effective until I carry all sorts of other stuff in me. So, okay, the water isn't poisoned. The poison has gone. Just still got a few flecks, just a few bits in it. Would you drink that water? You would still throw it away and go and get some fresh water. And so to have really pure feelings for all and good wishes for all, it's very, very important. And then they start working in a magical way. Then, whether it's an individual here or someone far away, but remembering them in Baba's remembrance is highly effective, because it's going to definitely multiply that energy with Baba's remembrance, and then it's going to reach them. And still, there mustn't be an expectation. There was somebody who was very ill. It had been, he was a pedestrian, and a car hit him, and the person driving drove on. They didn't stop to help. Other people helped. There was hospitalization, and the news came the next day. It was actually Daddy's nephew, great nephew, and so the news came that this is what has happened. And so his aunt came, and we had meditation in Baba's room and then sat with her. And her question was, what were we doing? We were remembering God, but we were also remembering that soul. So what should I have said to God? God, let him get better. Or we've heard, we've understood that it's a lot of brain damage that has happened. And so should we say to God, release him? And who's going to make that decision about whether the soul flies or whether the soul stays? It was an interesting question. And the response was, you don't have to say anything to God. Just simply remember God with love and send that soul light. And the soul itself will decide when it's time to go. If the body is not functioning, if the brain isn't functioning, then maybe the soul will decide to fly. But maybe, yes, there's a possibility that there can be a new life, then the soul will also decide to stay. So you don't make a decision about staying or going. You just remember God and send that soul God's light. And so, no expectations in even sending good wishes to people I know. Just God's light and love and my pure feelings and good wishes to them. And then whatever is to be will be. As good wishes reach another soul, pure good wishes filled with God's light, that soul begins to feel a little bit different, because that soul is probably very, very hurt. And so God's light and love reaching that soul calm the soul down, and the soul is able to absorb God's love. And how long this is going to take, I don't know. There isn't a time span limit to it. It depends on whatever has happened, whatever is the accumulation within that soul. But I make sure that I have a clean heart so that there's nothing else there except space for God. In bhakti, before we invoke Lakshmi, there's a whole big house clean. And it's very appropriate in India because it comes after the monsoons, and the monsoons have left a mess. It's been very good to have the rains, but the rains also leave behind a mess. And so in Madhavan, they not only have a clean out, they whitewash all the buildings. That's what they used to do in Pandavapuram. I don't know what they do now, but certainly they used to whitewash every building in Pandavapuram. So it was a real, real clean up. And in bhakti, the idea would have been that if there's a clean place, then and there's light there, you have to keep your lights on, Lakshmi will come. If there's a dark place without light, if it's a place that's dirty, unclean, Lakshmi's not going to come there. That's the bhakti idea, but it's absolutely correct. Satyug. Lakshmi can't come here. Lakshmi can only come in Satyug when everything is sato pradhan. So it makes sense when you understand, but when you don't understand, you ask people and they'll say, well, that's what you're supposed to do. They won't know any more than that. But now we understand, if I want Baba to be in my heart, and the other side is true, then Baba will keep me in his heart. If I don't keep Baba in my heart, I've got other people in my heart, what's God going to do? A, he's not going to come, but B, he's going to say, well, did you give me space? So how am I going to give you space? There's a karmic account that's involved in this. And so I'm cleaning my heart out so that it's no situations, no human beings. Then in that space, when it's clean, God can come, Baba can come. There was a very lovely question Baba had asked us at one point. Where does Baba live? And we said, here. And Baba said, Baba's in the hearts of his beloved children. And so yes, Bhagavad say God is omnipresent, so that's also true, but God is in each one's heart. And so in that state, then with God's help, then those good wishes reach the soul. And as they reach the soul, the soul definitely begins to soften. But at what time they will change, I don't know when I'm going to change completely. I still need to change. So how can I predict when they're going to change? I can't. So just keep the good wishes going. But especially when we send light to the world, then hold the world, the planet in front of you, and keep Baba with you. And Baba is responsible to give light to the world. And so today we are offering bhog to Sri Krishna, and we're going to be also remembering some souls, Jemini Ben's cousin, we would say cousin sister, a close cousin, a first cousin. She left the body Friday, right? Friday morning, and the family was there with her, but very much loved by everyone and very close to a big, big family, and so sending Baba's light and love to that soul also. So just one sentence from the Murali today that really stayed with me. What is the quality of your love for Baba? There are three types of love. One is which is love from the heart. And the second, love when it's convenient. And thirdly, there's love out of compulsion because of time. Things become desperate, and I remember Baba. So, three types of love. And Baba's watching all the children to see what space have you given him. Is it just a tiny piece of your heart, or does that love occupy the whole space in your heart? I'm going to offer both now. Om Shanti.